Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Jerome Williams, the Junkyard Dog. I played 9 years in the NBA, 1 year in the Big Three, so 10 years total of professional basketball. I graduated from Georgetown University in 1996. My college roommate was Allen Iverson, a famous MVP of the NBA, leading scorer. I had a great career playing 2 years at Georgetown with him before going on to the NBA. While I was in the NBA, I was vice president of the union and also a representative that helped negotiate the collective bargaining agreement on the executive team. And then when I retired, I became a chapter president in Las Vegas, where I, you know, help retired players and others in and around the game. Became Finley Prep head coach for high school basketball and coached current NBA players such as Kelly Oubre, Dylan Brooks, and others. So it's been a wild ride, and I'm still on it and still learning every day.
Well, JYD, we are so excited to hear about your story and everything that you've been able to accomplish both on the court and off the court. I know a lot of our students are familiar with the Big Three and some of the amazing things that you've done for some of those past players. Could you talk to the kids about the background and where that kind of came to be?
I was thrilled with the fact that, you know, 3-on-3 basketball was going to become a professional sport. And I wanted to go out there and see if I still had a little juice left in the tank. And I got drafted number 6 in the first round, to my surprise, by Katino Mobley and Corey Maggette. Corey Maggette was the team captain at the time, and they serve as like general managers. So they drafted me as their big, and we got off to a very hot start, winning our first game in Brooklyn. At the Brooklyn Nets Stadium in front of 17,000 fans. I had one of the game-winning plays right before the game winner, down the middle slam dunk, and the dog pound went crazy in New York. So from that point on, I knew I was liking big three and 3-on-3 professional sports.
And we love watching that stuff. I love watching the Big Three as well as this, some of the stuff that you're doing with the Young Three too is super interesting. Can you tell real quick, and then we'll get into some of the student questions. Can you talk about the Vegas Ballers?
Yes. So the Vegas Ballers started when my son was about three and a half, four years old. We began to let him get out there and start playing. We told the organizers of leagues that he was 5, but he wasn't. He was 3. And, but he, you know, he was a little hooper, so he was a little taller than most kids. So he looked like he was 5, which was perfect. And, you know, ball handling and everything. And just, he developed his love of the game for himself. And throughout that process, his, AAU team has, you know, gone on to win some championships and more losses than wins, but at the end of the day, that's where you learn, is when you do more learning in the losing than you do in the winning. So at least that's been my philosophy. And then from there, we were approached by the Basketball League, which is a new league here in the United States, that actually came about and asked me about the potential of owning a team. And I said, well, I'm not really interested in owning a team, but my son, he might be interested. And so my wife and I, we bought the team for my son so he could become the youngest team market owner in Las Vegas. And that way he would also be able to extend his Vegas Ballers AAU club beyond just, beyond just high school. So giving kids and young adults the opportunity to play professional sports.
That's great. And we'd like to see the stuff that you guys are doing on and off the court. And we can't wait to see his future in the sport as well. Do you mind if some of the students ask you some questions?
Oh, absolutely. I see a lot of you guys. I see Martin, Martin Gomez out there. I see him.
They're all over the world. We got a question from Mev. She's in Italy, and she had a pretty good question for you. Mev, you're unmuted. You can ask.
Thank you. Hi, nice to meet you. It's really an honor.
Oh, awesome. Nice to meet you.
I was wondering, having a fair play attitude helps. How does your behavior affect you in the game?
How does that help me in the game? Absolutely. One of the things that, you know, that helps me to be active in the game is really just, you know, the preparation. You know, preparation is always key for me. Being confident in all the work that I had put in was important. All the drills and all the practicing was what gave me confidence on the court when it became game time, because the game was then easier than practice. And if you're not struggling in practice, then either the practices aren't challenging enough, or you're just so overly talented that it's just, you know, unbelievable. I wasn't overly talented. I worked at, you know, getting better every day so I could become talented. And that makes sense. So that's what really gave me confidence out there on the floor. Good question.
Great answer. We have a question from Michelle. And Michelle, you should be able to unmute. You had an awesome question. I was kind of wondering this myself.
Nice to meet you. It's Michele. I play basketball here in Italy. And my question is, so you played with the best basketball players in the world, like also in the NBA past. So who was the hardest to defend?
I get that question a lot, Shell. I get that question a lot. Well, I can tell you right now, I've guarded, just so you know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Shaq, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Scottie Pippen, Dwayne Wade. I've guarded Carmelo Anthony. I've guarded some of the best in the best, from Kevin Garnett to Tim Duncan. But the hardest, because your question is, who is the hardest to guard? By far, Michael Jordan, hands down. Oh, and I've guarded Kobe Bryant, the great Kobe.
Man.
But Michael that Jordan is... by far was the hardest. He was too fast, too quick, too strong, and had the ultimate package in skill sets with very little weaknesses. And as a, you know, person who prides himself on defense, that's tough to guard.
That is unimaginable right there. We got a really good, we'll go with a few more questions and then we'll let you go. Sebastiano, you should be able to unmute and ask your question.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I'm also nice from Italy, and I play basketball, but I also love to watch NBA highlights or Big Three highlights too, so it's great. My question for you is, what is the best memory that you have from a match?
Oh man, the best memory I've had from playing in the NBA was probably a playoff game that I played in Toronto with the Raptors when I was playing with Vince Carter. It was game 6 in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and we were going up against Philadelphia. So this game was going to, we had to win this game in order to push it to game 7 because we were down 3-2. And on this particular play, it was the fourth quarter, and we needed a momentum swing. We needed a boost from our team. And basically what happened was, throughout the playoffs, you know, things are constantly changing. The lineups change, the plays change, the calls change, and we are constantly making adjustments. So Vince Carter and I had been reading a situation that the Philadelphia 76ers were like stepping out a little too high when we were doing dribble handoffs. And when I kind of stepped out to receive the ball and give it back to Vince, they were double teaming Vince. So in one of the timeouts, Vince and I kind of locked eyes and said, look, if they cheat, on this particular play, you just go back door and I'm going to hit you with a pass. So in our minds, we already had that kind of thought process already working. So we go into the, out of the timeout, we start playing, and sure enough, they jump out on Vince and they jump him instead of, playing me. Well, so just on cue, I told Vince what I was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. So he passes between the double team, and it's like the perfect bounce pass. And in the playoffs, like, this is, this is gold. You get a good pass, you can get a good chance at a shot. But there was only one thing, opposition to this going bad. And that is 3-time defensive player of the year, Dikembe Mutombo, known as Mount Mutombo. He does his finger wag like this all the time, right? And he happens to be a Georgetown University alumni. And I played with him all summer long. We train together, we fight together, and he's constantly blocking my shots. And so I have to always adjust and do things I really don't want to do because he's so good at blocking shots. So finally, I get this bounce pass, and I know Mount Mutombo's coming. So I'm totally like, look, I'm just going to give it all I got, jump as high as I can, and just basically hope for the best. Sure enough, get the bounce pass, take 2 steps, take off. And I mean, I'm high. I'm eye level with the rim. Here comes Mount Mutombo. He's coming. He's coming to block my shot. We hit chest to chest. His arms are up. And I just hammer it down right on top of him. Bam! And one. The crowd goes crazy. Dog pounds going insane. And now we're shooting free throws. And it's just crazy bananas in the arena. And that gave our whole team the momentum they needed. And we end up winning game 6. So that's probably my most memorable play because of all the factors. I got alumni from Georgetown. I got trash talkers. I got defensive Hall of Fame, Dikembe Mutombo staring me down. And I just rise up over top of them, get the dunk and slam. And our team wins. So there you have it, my friend.
That is an incredible story, and talk about rising up and persevering through adversity. And a lot of the students, when you were saying that, they were messaging, Vince Carter, greatest dunker of all time. Just like, what is that like, seeing someone who could jump so high and do so many amazing things athletically?
It's like so much fun. I had some of my best times in Georgetown and in Toronto, because of Allen Iverson. And you'd see some of the amazing things and the dunks that he could do at, like, barely 6 feet. And then Vince Carter at 6'6", like, unbelievable. He would come into the gym and practice and do these reverse 360 windmills without even tying up his shoes. It was insane. But it was so exciting because you see stuff like that and you get excited. But you also feel a little deflated because you're like, I could never do that, right? And it didn't matter how much weights I lifted or whatever, I couldn't do those things. So when we were able to do things that give our teammates a lift, like Vince Carter, and he's ready to, chest bump me after plays like that where I'm dunking on Mount Mutombo, makes it that much more gratifying because I know if he would have got that opportunity, he would have definitely thrown it down.
Well, I know that you have a lot of highlights too from the Toronto, Detroit, all these different teams and as well as even at Georgetown. So before we let you go, is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they kind of go off in the world and figure out what they want to do? I know that Coach Thompson at Georgetown was a huge influence for you. Was there any wisdom that he imparted on you that you might be able to impart on these students as they figure out what they want to do in life?
Okay. So the most important piece of advice that I could give you students, okay? So when you are learning what you want to be or what you want to do when you grow up, you have to remember this one famous quote that Coach Thompson said to me. Now, it's almost like a riddle, but it goes like this. The man or lady who knows how will always have a job. I'll repeat that. The man or lady who knows how will always have a job. But the man or lady who knows why will always be the boss. it's always cool to know how to do something. I learned how to play basketball. I learned how to improve my skills. But the question is, why does that, why does that pay me? Why does that, allow me to earn dollars? I'm sitting in my garage right now. So in my garage, this is my lovely convertible Lincoln Continental. It's a classic, right? And on this side is my Bentley. Two different cars, two totally different cars, two totally different eras. But here's the thing. Learning why is more important, or just as important, as learning how to do something, whatever that is you want to do. Because then, from an educational standpoint, you'll always be in control of your destiny. You'll always understand what you need to do and how you need to do it based on the why.